October 25th, day after Region Queens Council was on the road in Eagle Head, speaking with Mayor Darlene Norman. Good morning, Darlene.
Good morning. Yes, indeed. We were at the lovely Seaside Center last evening, which was great.
Excellent. And it looked like a pretty brief meeting, though. So we must just dig right into it here. Were there any presentations, any petitions, public questions?
We did have one petition, and we did have an added discussion item, Municipal Reform Act. Oh. So, yeah, there was one petition submitted on behalf of residents of School Street in Milton, mm-hmm. requesting that a section of their road, which is a J-class road, which means that any paving done on that road has to be done under the J-class agreement, which is a 50-50 cost share between the province and the municipalities in the province. So there was a request that there be a repave between, or repair or repave between civic numbers 68 and 76 mm-hmm. before winter 2023. So that petition was filed.
All right. Okay. I just knowing how that works, that sounds like that could be a bit of a tight timeline to try and get that done in a month.
Well, that's going to, not only that, the province provides $1 million for their 50-50 share for all the roads in the province. Mm-hmm. We, last year, the councilors selected three roads to put forward for J-class roads. Mm-hmm. The shortest one of all was selected, which is Oliver Street, which is
200 meters, wasn't it?
Yeah, 0.2 kilometer. So 200 meters, that cost has, we received at our last meeting, that cost has come in at $100,000.
Wow.
For 0.2 kilometer.
Wow.
So our 50-50 share is 50,000. Now, when you think the province only budgets $1 million for the entire province at 100,000 for 0.2 kilometers, if you do the math, the province puts out enough money to repave 2 kilometers of roads in the entire province.
Yeah. That sounds like a larger question to have perhaps with the minister at some point.
Exactly. A couple counselors, I spoke to them after the meeting, and they have driven that road, and they're aware there's some very large rocks. There's logging going on that road now. Many families live on that road. It is need in repair. So I will be speaking to our MLA, who also happens to be the minister in charge of roads. And though repaving, they're all tender calls, so repaving will not happen. I shouldn't say it won't. However, repair is definitely needed, and even if some of the rock can be removed, mm-hmm. that's coming up through. So
maybe is that something that the region's public works crew could attend to just to in the interim?
I have no idea. Yeah. That would be something uncertain. Are we allowed to put our equipment on J-class roads without permission? I'm sure the province would provide permission. Mm-hmm.
Sounds like a discussion to be had with the minister.
That's something that I need to have a discussion, and staff need to then, council needs to give direction towards staff on that.
Okay. All right. Well, let's dive into the meeting.
We do not own paving equipment. So.
Right. Yeah. All right. Well, let's dive into the meeting here then. So that was a public question comment. You say you added Municipal Reform Act. I assume that's probably in discussion somewhere.
Right.
Let's go and see, approve the minutes.
There was one comment.
Sure.
One public question. There was a resident from the area who questioned whether or not we knew of a home being built on the East Berlin, on the Eaglehead Beach. Were we aware if there were permits for cribbing or not? That is something that is not within our jurisdiction. That's a provincial permit. I advised her that Mike McLeod was present, our director. She could speak to him after the meeting, respecting the process for cribbing on ocean beaches, and if it and you know, most of that information is kept confidential. Mm. However, I know Mr. McLeod did speak to the person questioning and did provide her with the information she was requesting as to who provides permission for that.
And just maybe we could explain what cribbing is for people.
So cribbing is the large placement of rock or artificial brick, massive timber to basically prevent the ocean from coming up on your property.
Right. Okay. Okay. All right. So then diving into the meeting, loan recommendation, fixed roof overnight accommodation in South Brookfield. Looks like somebody's planning to put some temporary, well, I guess some, basically a hotel or something almost, right?
Well, there is a collection of cabins. This came through Planning Advisory Committee. It's a fixed roof accommodation. A person has bought 19 acres, and they wish to put a collection of fixed roof accommodation, attractive cottage rentals. The property fronts on a lake frontage. And as we all know, lake frontage vacation rentals are very sought after. Within our planning laws, the zoning for this property allows fixed roof accommodation under a development agreement. It's not a right, which means you have to apply for a development agreement, which ensures that the staff can ensure that erosion, noise, lights, screening from properties, all of those things are satisfactory. So council did approve the recommendation from Planning Advisory Committee. So it went, so council was last evening. The first public notice will go out on November 1st. We'll have second public notice on the 8th. Then there will be a public hearing the last Tuesday of the month in November, which makes that a night meeting, November 28th. So there'll be a public hearing. So anyone living in the area or anyone feels aggrieved can come out and speak against, or they may speak for. And hopefully I do not see where this is going to have any direct effect on anyone. It's remote, it's removed, and so hopefully by the end of the year, the permission will be granted, and the couple that own the land will be able to move ahead on their construction.
It does look like it's fairly isolated. I don't see, you know, on the maps provided that there are really any neighbors. What you say this won't impact anyone. I guess, what are your thoughts on providing this kind of, I guess, cottage experience, cottage rental up in that end of the woods?
People need to get out in nature. Everybody's not a camper. Everybody doesn't go to provincial parks or national parks. Some people just like to get out in nature and have the comfort of a fixed roof and a bed. So I think this is wonderful for the area. People will know this as the land in behind. There's a small day park called Cameron's Brook as you go toward Caledonia. Mm-hmm. I think people that live out there would be happy. There's, you know, if you have friends or neighbors or friends coming to visit you and you don't have enough home place in your home and the neighbors are actually, you know, across the road on another lake in another area, what a great place for people to come stay if you're having a wedding or a celebration or anything. So I wish the owners great luck, and hopefully there will be no opposition to this.
Well, I'm looking at the designs here. They look quite nice. So yeah, we'll just wait and see what the public has to say about it.
Yeah, they look lovely.
Okay, and moving on to the Planning Advisory Committee appointments. How many of those were there last night? Three.
This was under discussion because appointments for committees go under discussion. So there was a recommendation that Xenia Horner, District 2, Mary White, District 4, Pamela Brennan, District 6, each be reappointed, and that staff advertise for expressions of interest. Oh, no, that was it. Just those three. Okay. We didn't do option two. Okay. And the reason this came forward, those terms expire on the end of this month. And those committee members all expressed an interest in reoffering. So there was discussion respecting whether or not we should go out and seek different members or if we should reappoint them. Council decided to move forward on a recommendation for reappointment simply because of all of our committees. Planning advisory is the most complex. Mm-hmm. It is the committee that requires an understanding of our land use bylaws, our strategies, and all such things. Staff are going to re-examine our policy surrounding appointments. They may suggest they're for a longer term, or perhaps that if a person has served twice or three times, that they not be eligible for reappointment. But at this point in time, there were the recommendation is to come forward at our next meeting that Xenia Horton, Mary White, and Pamela Brennan be reappointed to the Planning Advisory Committee.
Right. And they've only served one year term at this point, right?
Yes, okay. All except Mary White for District 4, who has served two terms.
Okay.
However, council felt rather than pinpoint Mary and allow the others to be reappointed, that at this point in the game, everyone would be reappointed.
Okay. So that'll come forward the next meeting for to be voted upon and approved or not. Yeah. And then I guess the next thing you said, you added a bit in there about the Municipal Reform Act.
Yes. So at this point in time, Minister Lohr, who is the Minister of Municipal Affairs and Housing, has put forward through the legislature the municipal an act for municipal reform. So it has been since 20 odd years since there's been any look at, or at least any look at the Municipal Government Act. There's been a committee called the Service Exchange Agreement Committee, which has met for a year, year and a half, looking at changes to municipal reform. And the changes that have come forward are beneficial to almost every unit within the province. Talks about the municipal capacity grant. That's a very intricate funding formula which weighs the expenditures a municipality must do to the revenue ability it has to meet. So they have this very intricate formula, and you come up with a number, a financial dollar amount that the province provides municipalities if they are eligible for the Municipal Financial Capacity Grant, the MFCG. So there's been a slight change in how that formula works. taxpayers in all the municipalities also pay a cost toward corrections. And corrections is something that municipal units have no say in. But we collect money for the province to go forward to corrections. There is also monies that the municipalities must collect from their taxpayers for regional housing. And we have to pay toward the deficit that occurs within our regional housing area. And again, that is a part of provincial government of which municipalities have no say in. And that number that we have to provide generally tends to come in after we've set our budget, and it's always unknown what it is. So the province has proposing that contribution to them, we no longer have to collect. And the corrections we no longer have to collect. Obsolete schools, many listeners may not be aware, but prior to 1981, all the schools within your municipality belonged to the municipality. So in Queens County, that would be schools like the former Port Matoun School, former Mount Pleasant School, former Beach Meadows School, Greenfield, all those schools which were built before 1981, the way the act reads, they belong to the municipality if the province no longer wants them. So as people in Queens County who have lived here know, when Wickwire was built, then Port Matoun School became vacated by the province. The small school at Mill Village became vacated, Mount Pleasant became vacated, and Beach Meadows became vacated. And all of those schools became the property of the municipality. And then it was the municipality's responsibility to decide what they do with them. So here in Queens County, we gave those schools away. We gave the Port Matoun went to the nonprofit group. Mount Pleasant went to the daycare association. The Beach Meadows went to a nonprofit group. The school in Liverpool, the Forum Gorham School, that was sold. And some Greenfield went to the community. So many of these schools fall in disrepair. And some municipalities are burdened with large schools that no one wants. And I can think of Lunenburg County, the school at Center, and some other schools. So some of these schools become an actual tax burden to taxpayers. So with the new proposal, any of these 1981 schools, and for Queens County, the only school remaining would be the North Queens Community School. And I am highly doubtful that the North Queens Community School, which has undergone significant repair after a fire many years ago, is ever going to become obsolete to our provincial government. So with the new proposal, these schools are no longer going to be automatically turned over to the municipalities. Mm-hmm. However, if a municipality wishes to retain ownership of a school once it becomes obsolete to the Provincial Department of Education, they may enter into discussions with the province about how they can retain ownership. Mm-hmm. So that's a good thing for many municipalities. Many counties are not fortunate, such as Queens, who've had new schools built. Many counties still have, I'm thinking, Pence, hopefully Pence will always be there. Small schools like that will always stay. However, there are some municipalities that will not want schools once they become obsolete. So this is a good thing. The other thing within the municipal reform is infrastructure funding. So the province is now going to make an additional $15 million, a new program called Infrastructure Program. It's going to be application based. So municipalities will have to apply for this infrastructure money. The details on the program are not yet available because if and when this act passes, it will come in effect in April 1st of 2024. Mm-hmm. So there will be a $15 million infrastructure program. As you and I know, $15 million is a start. $50 million would have been wonderful when you think of all the infrastructure repairs that are needed in all of our municipalities. However, it is a start. And it is a good thing. It's a good thing for municipalities. The fifth item that was proposed by CERMGRA, and only half of it was accepted because of the consultations done with municipalities, is that if there are trunks or routes running through municipalities which are owned by the municipality, then they will be eligible for 50-50 cost sharing for repaving. Mm-hmm. In Queens County, that would be Trunk 3, as it runs from Sandy Cove or the limits of Brooklyn, as where Trunk 3 runs through Liverpool out to our admin building. That is our responsibility, even though it's a provincial road. So, but it became our road because it was the town's road. The town of Liverpool owned that road. So now there will be a 50-50 cost share on repaving. So I believe the town of Liverpool does have a town of Lunenburg. It has a trunk or route running through it.
Yep.
Right. Mm-hmm. So that would be a 50-50 cost share ability for mm-hmm. for your town. And again, they've limited the money. It will only be $6 million. Mm-hmm. But again, it's a start. The second section of the road program, which came through the CERMGRA committee, which has been put on the back burner, and I don't think it's going to see the light of day, but there needs to be another road program. The province had suggested it would put $10 million in for not only J-class roads, but G, H, and I roads. Listeners are going to be, well, what on earth is a G, H,
and I? That's an alphabet soup right there, right?
I know. Well, a J-class road is roads which are still traveled on. The province plows them. They're the roads that if we want them fixed, we have to pay half, but there's only $1 million for the whole province. They're like the School Street and the Oliver Street and many roads through our portions of roads through Caledonia and Port Medway and all over J-class. G, H, and I roads, they would be roads like the end of Bells Point Road. There used to be a road that went through there, but not the very end. Riverhead Road. The end of Riverhead Road, as you go down to the end of Riverhead Road, there's still a road that continues through. It's owned by the provincial government, but yet the provincial government does not spend a nickel on that road. Mm-hmm. The homeowners that live on that road have to maintain the road, and they have to plow that road. Then there are other roads, even within that GH&I classification, that's basically a hauling road through a wood somewhere.
Right.
But yet that road, or what's left of that road, is still on the provincial books as being owned by the provincial government.
Right.
What had been suggested was that if a municipality wanted to own that road, the province would bring it up to road standard, pave it, and then here you go, municipality, this road now belongs to you. That did not fly with the municipalities in this province. Mm-hmm. So long in a nutshell, when the region of Queens looks at this new proposed changes to the Municipal Government Act, we actually benefit with about a $400,000 win. which equals about 4 cents on our tax rate. So next year in 2024, we will have an additional $400,000 that we did not have this year.
Right.
And that would be assuming, you know, the municipal financial, I mean, that's going to depend on what our assessment role will look like.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a benefit for Queens County. It's a benefit for our taxpayers. As costs go up, then perhaps the tax rate does not have to, because we have this chunk of money that we did not have this tax year. So council, we presented, CAO and I presented a draft letter, which we are sending today because all council supported this. So we are sending a letter to Minister Lohr, and we will copy it to our MLA, the president of the NSFM, the Nova Scotia Federation of Municipalities, Zach Churchill, leader of the Liberal Party, Claudia Chender, leader of the NDP party, and of course it will be copied to council. Perfect. That we are in support with the proposals as they ensure that we have the capacity to maintain and grow our communities for existing new residents and businesses, mm-hmm. and that the changes align with our roles and responsibilities and the provincial roles and responsibilities.
Right. Okay.
There.
Oof, that was a big addendum.
Anyone have any questions, you can call me.
Yeah.
It's a complex issue. Yeah. And it's one of those things when people run for council, and I know when I first ran for council, I think it took me several years to understand the budget, the process, how these things work, especially the municipal finance, the capacity grant.
Mm-hmm.
They're very intricate and they're very different. There were many, many things. I served on the CIRMGRA committee. There are many, many items that are on a list called Appendix A, which need to also be dealt with. But in the time frame we had, we could not deal with everything.
Yeah, but those will be coming back up again, right?
They are coming back. Yeah. The biggest thing that municipalities want dealt with is we do not want to be collecting the education tax. Mm. We collect the education tax on our tax bills, and every nickel of it goes to the provincial government. I write a check every month on behalf of the region, co-signed by staff, for $200,000 plus to our Social Regional Center for Education. We do not have any say in what goes on in the Department of Education. We have no say on our schools, and that is a big sore point for many municipalities.
Mm-hmm.
It is a big, you know, even though we try to explain, and every mayor does at tax time, all the money we're collecting, we're not spending it all.
Mm-hmm.
Much of this money is just being sent off to the provincial government. So the provincial government knows very well that municipalities do not want to be collecting this huge amount of education money for them.
Yeah.
So that is one hot ticket item.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's many others. There's volunteer fire departments. Is there ability for the provincial government to assist with that? There's the questions about medical first responders, and there's just so many things in the Municipal Government Act.
Yeah.
That municipalities want dealt with. But this is a start, and it's a good start.
Good. All right. Well, it seems like, again, that was a big item to add to the agenda. Looks like the last thing, council implementation report. Anything off of that of notes? Anything moving ahead?
Nope. Nope,
No, not that.
nothing.
Okay. And in camera
Nope.
items, or it says contract
Nope.
negotiations, nothing of
Yeah.
that.
Nothing. Nothing came out of that.
All right. Well, I guess that's a good place to leave it then. And you say, so we got November 14th. I guess the next time we'll be speaking, you'll have a new CAO in place, and we'll get to know them.
Yes, we will. And he is anxious to get here and meet people and meet our community and work with our community. Mr. Jodry is a strong believer in public engagement and public consultation. So I'm looking for toward some positive change. We have things we need corrected, and yeah, we'll just leave it at that.
We'll see them. We'll
It's
see him on the 14th, right?
we will see him on the 14th,
Yeah.
and I've spoke with him several times. He's been speaking with staff. He's doing his homework. He's looking forward to getting here. He's familiar with Queens County. His folks grew up in Caledonia, so it's and he's glad to be coming home. And we are very happy to have him.
Exactly. Well, that's great.
That's it.
I'm gonna
Yeah,
hit.
and I invite everyone to go to Queen's Place, go in, look at our two new additions to our Olympic Hall of Fame. Yesterday we had a wonderful ceremony at which you were at. It was
Posthumous. Yeah.
posthumously. I see the word in my brain and it's not pronounced like it's spelled, but
Yeah.
posthumously, the family of the late David Rutterham. David was an excellent Paralympian in basketball. Brian Ward, who grew up in Brooklyn, tremendous Paralympian in archery, are both now honored on our wall. Brian's brother, Bruce, was here from British Columbia. Brian's niece, Sally Carlson, was here. And David's widow, Sue Beaumont, and her son, Mark, and their daughter, Louise, and Louise's two children were in attendance. It's available on YouTube for those who weren't able to meet to get there. It was a well-attended ceremony, great crowd, and such a positive event. And it's an honor to have that Olympian wall.
Yeah,
And it was an
it's.
honor to honor Mr. Rutterham and Mr.
Ward.
Ward yesterday afternoon.
Yeah.
So it was.
Yeah, no, it's a very inspiring thing to see when you walk through the doors. Everyone should get over and have a look at it for sure. For sure.